Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. Welcome back to the Fully Expressed podcast. Today, we are going to be talking all about money with Nicole Chaza. She is the founder of She Investor LLC, a financial coaching business dedicated to empowering women to take control of their finances and unlock the freedom to live beyond their circumstances. Through a unique blend of financial literacy, mindset work, and money energetics, Nicole helps women build sustainable wealth by addressing both the practical and emotional aspects of money.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
So where do we start with money?
I think what I love about this episode is like, I think everyone's in that like, I need to be better about money. I want money to work for me. Like they're thinking about money. I think there's like a season, especially like post like 30s or like later in life, like there's that time where like, maybe I get a little bit more serious about money. Maybe I should start paying attention to what all this stuff means, which I am so excited to talk to you about because I think there's so many different ways we can talk about this, but starting from like the very basics, what does that look like for someone to just start creating a better relationship with money?
Yeah, definitely educating yourself about money. So there's kind of like that initial getting the money foundations in place. So making sure that you have like a sustainable income stream through a job or a business or whatnot. It's about starting to save and just building up like a security fund that people talk about as kind of like that little starting point to feel like you have money and start to see it grow. And then there's also what's really important before starting to invest is making sure that you're really on top of managing your personal finances. So you have your income come in every month and then you're getting hit with expenses and spending, but really getting in control of that and finding a process that works for you to stay on top of that. And look at that as a way to where like you are in control of your money, right? You get to be intentional with it. And it's either, you know, you could spend money and not really know where you're spending it, or you can be very intentional and, you know, choose where you want to go with your money, how you want to use it, how it's going to support you and provide for you.
And how did you get into, before we get into your company and all these things, like how did you even get into this? Or I mean, was it from a place of not being good with your money and so then you wanted to learn about it? Or were you always good with money? And
I was not always good with money. I feel like every time I got to a good place in a certain area with money, I realized there was another area that wasn't so good. So I'll just kind of backtrack and share a little bit of my story and kind of how I got to where I am right now. And it all started like growing up in a very scarce environment. So we didn't have a ton growing up. My dad he worked full time. And then my mom was a full time stay at home mom with myself and my four siblings. And all of our conversations often involved money. Like, can we afford that? How are we going to do that? You know, why are you even thinking of that? And deep down, there was part of me that just felt like, do things really have to be this way? Like, I always felt like things don't have to be that way and they actually shouldn't be that way. And so right from there, as a little girl, I already knew like I wanted a little bit better of a quality life. I didn't know what that looked like, but I knew like I wanted to have money because money allows you to do things. You can travel. You can, you know, buy some nicer clothes, like, you know, do all the things. And so what I knew then once I got a little older was if you want money, you need to go to school, get the degree, get the good job. And so I did exactly that. And somehow I manifested a pretty high paying job right out of college, out of my undergrad. And I thought I made it. I was like, yes, now I'm making money. Things are great. It's going to be easy. But I quickly realized after I started work and it was an inside sales job, so it was a very difficult, taxing role, that I didn't make it. I was actually very unfulfilled. And that was like a really big eye opener for me to where I realized, like, okay, well, money is great and I like this, but is it worth it at the expense of my fulfillment? So that led me down the rabbit hole of figuring out, well, okay, there are wealthy people out there who are enjoying life, doing things with their family, don't seem like they have to be working that hard. So what is it that they do? And that's really what led me to discover wealth building and investing. So anyone out there that has large amounts of wealth has invested, and most often it's either the stock market or real estate. So that got me really excited to see the potential of investing over time, how it can grow, how it can provide for you, how it can be literally a passive income stream that supports you to then, you know, go and do whatever, which is awesome. And so I just self-taught and learned as much as I could around money. And my goal was to invest as much as I could. I took advantage of the times that I was employed, and through employer investment accounts and other investment accounts that I learned about. I looked at my employer as like my investor, so I may not be completely fulfilled here.
No, you did the same.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I'm still in corporate, but I've always thought about like, oh, they're just investing my future.
Yes.
They're the investor. They're the thing that's backing my business.
Yes. I love that shift in your mindset there. And just thinking about how any experience that you have is really cultivating your skills and your knowledge too, that then can be applied to so many things. You don't know where it's going to be applied to your life later on. And there's so many skills I've learned in past careers and jobs that I'm using now. And I'm like, I can't believe I didn't capitalize on this more when I was there, because I didn't really think of it at the time. But yeah, so going back to investing, so I looked at my employer as my investor. And in order for me to maximize my investments, I had to address my own personal finances, specifically my spending. And so I started tracking my income, tracking what I was spending on, realized that I was spending on a lot of things I either didn't realize or were doing just for short-term fulfillment. So I was able to cut back on my expenses quite a bit and really just focused on investing, and then specifically in like the stock market and financial securities too, just to clarify that. So after about 5-6 years, I got myself to a place where I had invested enough to support me long term and reach financial independence. So even if I never invest again, and just what that means, financial independence is having enough invested to where those investments provide enough to cover your income. It's like they're your new income, sustainable income stream that's going to support you, you know, until you pass, or, you know, you can pass it down to your children and whatnot. And I structured it in a way to where it's all like tax-free. So whenever I do use that money, it's tax-free. It just makes it easier and there'll be a lot more. So
how do you do that? I guess the question is like, let's backtrack. You know, you have things to invest in, like an IRA, the 401k, you have the stock market, you have these financial securities that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So do you invest in those things, and then do you take money out?
As far as
how do they pay for your living?
How do they pay for your living? Yes.
Okay. Because a lot of people, I think a lot of people think about like, oh, I'm putting money, I'm buying Tesla stocks, I'm buying this thing, and they just let it sit there, you know, until they get to a place where they're like, oh, I can take out $100,000 because I've gotten $100,000, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like the way that you made it sound, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're living off these expenses, these investments on their own. So it seems like you're taking things out more monthly, more weekly. What does that look like?
Yes.
And that balance of also keeping it in.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot there.
So just for, I was thinking you meant how do you structure it to be tax-free, which
is a whole other topic. I know a little bit about that, but I want to know this.
Yeah. So right now, I am not financially independent. So right now, my investments, I have enough invested to where when they'll grow, and at a certain point,
okay,
there'll be enough there that as long as they grow a certain percentage every single year, that percentage is going to be enough to replace my income and be an amount to live off of.
How do you take into account inflation?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You really want to invest. So what I do with clients and how I look at it is you want to figure out what what amount of money is going to support you? Kind of like what your lifestyle is going to look like whenever you don't want to work anymore, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's different levels to it too, because with money, it's kind of like a game. You got to figure out like a plan that can work for you based on what you have going on right now. So it's kind of fun in that sense. And so you want to figure out, like, what I always work backwards. Okay, we want to reach this goal. And based on this type of investment, you can expect to reach it, you know, during this time frame, or you can figure out how much you want to invest per month for that. I always then suggest tacking on an extra, account for inflation in the rate that you're calculating your investment growth. So if you're projecting something at like, I'm going to get a 10% return per year, let's go down to 8%. Mm-hmm. So that way you're able to invest more and have a little bit bigger of a nest in case.
Just in case. Yeah.
I just don't think people are talking about it, which is why I asked the question.
Yes, really. Yeah.
It's a good question because as much as you put investments and you put money in for like 10 years from now, right? You're like, great, it's going to grow by like 10x. I'm so excited. But the reality of the dollar, the value of the dollar is significantly going down the more that we continue to print money. I think people are like, I'm going to have so much money by like XYZ. Let's just say you make 100K. That 100K is eventually only going to be worth 80 or 60K, depending on where the market is in regards to value. So I just love that you're also thinking about that and inquiring your clients to be like, you also have to take into consideration about what else is going on in the money market. You can't just like throw money in your investments without a strategy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's such a great point, especially right now, because inflation has been, seems like, through the roof the last year or two, and we're all feeling it.
Could it be the $4 trillion? Is that what we're printing on?
Yeah. What do we have now? Like, in $1 trillion in interest every year now. So yeah, that's a whole other thing. That's going to be interesting. So hopefully figure something out there.
Yeah.
But even when you reach like retirement or financial independence, your life and your expenses could look completely different than they are now. Like, if you own a house, your mortgage could be paid off, right? You may not have a car payment, kids may be out of the house. So it's kind of planning for the best case scenario. And there's always ways to make it work too. I don't think that anybody should worry if they have invested and they've saved consistently over time and they feel like maybe I'm a little bit short. You always have the option of picking up some extra work, cutting back expenses, working an extra year. There's always a way to like mix and match and have that flexibility, you know? And then if you are married and you settle down together, you know, hopefully you both put yourself in a place or work together to where you're both, you know, supporting each other too. So yeah, there's always flexibility and hope in any situation.
So tell us a little bit about the tax-free.
The tax-free. Yeah. Okay. So there are, So when you start to invest, if you want to invest in something like a financial security, which is really just a digital type of asset that you can trade online.
So it's like a stock.
Yes. So a stock is an example. Bonds are examples. Then there are things like mutual funds, which probably familiar with, in 401ks and index funds and even like some commodity type funds. So those are all in the category of financial securities. If you want to invest in something like that, you need to go to a brokerage firm and then an online brokerage firm and then open up a certain investment account. So kind of like if you're going to invest in real estate, you need to find an agent. They'll help you find a property. When it comes to financial securities, an online broker, I'll just name drop a big one, Fidelity. I really like them for really any level of investor, whether you're brand new or advanced, they're great. And then you can open up different investment accounts. So when it comes to retirement account or tax advantage types accounts, there are things like individual retirement accounts, and then there is your employer 401k. Now, there are different ways they're taxed. So some are pre-tax, where you actually get to take a tax deduction that year to what you contribute to that account. And then later on, you then pay taxes on anything that you take out of the account. The opposite is post-tax, and that is where you're paying taxes now, and then you're essentially contributing to that account. So The post-tax is considered a Roth version. There's a Roth version of an IRA. There's also a Roth version of a 401k. So that's a little bit newer, but it's out there. And so what I did was I maxed out my Roth every single year that I could. There were a couple years that I made a little bit more than the limit. So with tax advantage accounts, there's some parameters and limits to them. So there's usually like an income limit. There can be an age that you're not allowed to touch the account to remove your funds until, you know, you reach that age, usually like 59 and a half. And then otherwise you're going to get penalized and maybe pay extra taxes depending on the account. And then there's also contribution limits to how much you can put in the accounts as well. So that's how the retirement accounts are set up. And so what I did was took advantage of the Roth when I can. If my income was too high, you can actually do this like backdoor strategy where you contribute to a traditional IRA and then immediately move it to a Roth and then invest that way. Yeah, so that's a really cool little, I won't even say it's a hack because it's like a legal process, yeah, but it's not something that many people know about. They go to an actual financial advisor.
Yeah. I went to like a conference or something, and he was talking about there's two ways to play the game of money. There's money that people talk about. There's also the money that you don't, but like another way to play the game of money. I think it just highlights what you're talking about, which is like, it's not that these things are illegal. Mm-hmm. We just don't know that it's there.
Yeah. And I feel like the finance space has not really position itself in a way to really support the average person.
It doesn't empower the people at the bottom, really.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. And even like, I don't want to hate on any type of financial advisor or anything like that. I think they're really good ones. And then I think there are some that maybe aren't really, I don't know how it's even a thing. But yeah, there's ways to really take advantage of people in this space. And that's why it's really important to educate yourself. And I mean, I grew my portfolio without ever talking to a financial advisor, like doing it all on my own and spending what it felt like years learning all this stuff. Anybody can do that. So
it's difficult because so many people want it done for them.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like there's so much of like, oh, you're asking me to learn all these details on top of like my life, my kids, my job. Like,
yeah.
So it also, this is one of the things I'm like, you should teach it while it's in high school or in college when kids are literally going to school to learn something. Like, this is one of the subjects that does take time to learn, but it's difficult because people want to be like, you're my financial advisor. I can just take off this weight. I trust you, which isn't always necessarily the best thing either.
Yeah.
Also, for so long, I feel like money was a man's world. You know, and it's like men worked at the bank and men worked as financial advisors and men worked in, you know, the stock market and all these things. And it was such a male-led space. So I feel like as women, which I'm so excited to talk about She Investor, because as women, I feel like we are not educated financially. And I feel lucky, like I have a Capricornian mother. So she's like very good at investing. And like, she's taught me a lot. But I also think she had to learn herself.
Yeah.
And like, for example, when her and my dad were young, they invested in an IRA, but it was like, it was the one, you know this better than me, but the one where you pay the taxes later, which did them a disservice because they ended up making way more money than they ever thought they were going to make. And so then the taxes they have to pay on this money now is like way higher than if they had done it, you know, paid it first when they were young. So it's like an example of my mom didn't know, like nobody taught her like, hey, if you go into a corporate job, which she did as an attorney, like you're probably going to make triple this by the time you retire, you know, but you just don't, we're not taught those things.
We're not telling you the options and like what are the
consequences,
of the background. Like that's why I always ask questions like, so what does that mean? If I choose option A,
yeah,
what does that mean? What does that look like? What is the result from now? What is that going to look like 20 years from now? Or option B, again, what does that actually mean? They just tell you option A and option B. You're just be like, I'm going to choose option B because it sounds like the better option.
It's like health
and
insurance.
And then I love educators and I love people that take the time to be like, if you choose option B, X, Y, Z could happen. I don't think a lot of people take the time.
Yeah.
To tell you the extra context.
It makes me think of when you set up your 401k and it's like, have your funds managed for you or select them yourself. And when you choose to have them managed for you, usually there's higher costs involved, which can significantly cut down your investment performance long term. And it's just a simple thing like that. you know, but again, like to your point, no one tells you what the outcome can be. And it's because, yeah.
So to clarify that real quick, you're saying, so like, let's say someone has their 401k in Fidelity.
Yeah.
Can they manage where those funds go into?
Yes. Yeah. So
listen, because a lot of people in corporate are like, oh, yes. I have my money sitting in Fidelity. It's fine. And they're just spreading it wherever they want.
Yeah. So this is a big one. And this is just a small thing that you can do that can save you thousands or really hundreds of thousands of dollars over time, depending like how much you're investing and whatnot. But typically when you have a 401k, you have maybe, let's just say 10 funds to choose from. And so you don't have a big selection to choose from. But there are two different types. There's either actively managed or there's passively managed index funds. And just to keep this as simple as possible, actively managed usually have fees involved with them. And actively managed just means there's like a fund manager picking and choosing which stocks and investments to go in it. And because of that, there's an added cost for them to do that job.
Like their fee, essentially.
Yes. And that fee is called the expense ratio. It's usually around like 1%. But that 1%
adds up over time.
It does. And you pay that regardless if the fund does well or does not in the year. An index fund is passively managed. Really all an index fund is, it just tracks a grouping of stocks, a certain industry, certain number of companies, certain size, and it's just tracks how they perform. And so you can really find funds that are almost nothing. And you're going to have, just by doing that, you're going to have a lot more money over time. And full disclaimer here, not a financial advisor. So I just want to be clear here, and everything we're sharing really is just to educate you and, you know, help you learn and think for yourself and whatnot. So yeah, just.
Which does bring us to Shein, to your company that you started. Tell us a little about it and what your drive is behind it, why you created it. I mean, I think we can get a feeling for why you created it already, but share a little about it.
Yeah. So SheInvestor, after I built my investment portfolio that was really, you know, it hit like six figures in investments, just to kind of throw out a number. It was a really, I don't know, it was an interesting thing. It was very empowering to know that like you did something like this. And like looking back at myself, I was like, you go, girl, like great job. Like I'm stoked for you. And it was just, it made me fall in love with learning more about finance and investing in all things money. And so I actually then went back to school when I got my master's in finance from Georgetown University. And so, yeah, and it was amazing. It was very intense, especially going back to school after like a 5-year break. It's no joke.
You're like, I forgot about this.
I know. I was like, straight A's. And I'm like, yeah, let's just get through this. But
I probably feel the exact same way.
Yeah. A little type A in there. But anyways, so that was great. And then when I was going through like an internship and I was exploring the job market and finance, and that's when I realized how male dominant the space was and learned all the things happening in the industry that, you know, made it challenging for the average person and in particular women to learn about finance in, you know, an unintimidating way. And that just kind of inspired me. I felt like I had a calling to help women and educate in a way that made it easy and simplified it. And that's where SheInvestor really grew from. And, you know, I think the name is, you know, explains itself. It's to help women learn how to invest. And so through launching SheInvestor and just kind of what it is. So right now I provide like one-on-one coaching, and like there's kind of like two parts to it. There's the money management side of things. So your foundation, and then there's building an investment portfolio, taking advantage of the different accounts to really set you up long-term. But through learning all of that and kind of like the challenges of being a new business owner, I learned how money is totally different when you're in business than when you work for an employer and you're used to having that steady salary. And that kind of threw me one. And then I had to dive down the new rabbit hole of like mindset and money energetics to really understand what money is. And it's more than something that just comes from a job or employer. It really is something that flows through you and you create it. And it's, you know, it's an energetic exchange. It's this for that. And so now more recently, I'm incorporating that stuff into my work too, because I think that's just, it's so powerful. It's like you can be someone who does all the logical things right, the strategies, the tools, but still things just aren't working for you. And if it's not, then it's usually something to do with the emotional, energetic, spiritual.
What does that mean? Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us more.
So when I think of energetics, I really think of like the non-physical component to money. So it's like when you're pursuing a career and you get the job, it's like, okay, you got the job and you did the things, but there was a lag between that happening where things that you couldn't see were lining up for that to happen. And so it's kind of like with money, it's when it comes to attracting wealth to you, it's like, what are all the things that you're doing that's going to attract it to you? It's like, I love what you guys talk about a lot with like nervous system regulation. It's building the capacity for that to come in. And it's also understanding why you're doing certain actions with your money and what is the energetic reason behind that. So one thing to give an example, when you want to save, it's not just to save to have money. It's because when you save and make it a priority to pay yourself first, no matter what, you're putting out there that you value yourself, that you're a good steward of money, that you know how to handle it right. And then in return, people are going to look at you that way. People are going to value you. They're going to take you seriously. You're going to accumulate wealth. Wealth, having more wealth, people feel that. You know, you're going to show up more as yourself. It's everything's just going to kind of like align. And I think wealth is really like this powerful tool and a total like abundant resource that is really everywhere. You just got to see it that way and start to change your mind to seeing it that way. And everyone should have wealth, right? I think the reason we don't is just how society has taught us. And I think there's a big shift happening right now.
I agree.
I think there's a big shift.
We talk happening. About that. It's like, you know, just knowing the astrology and Pluto's moved into Aquarius, it's a very circular economy. It's not the top-down pyramid that we've had. So it's such a huge opportunity for wealth. And we've been talking about crypto and all these other things
that we're in crypto.
Yeah. That are coming around, you know, that are giving the average person the ability to obtain wealth. Even entrepreneurship has exploded and product-based businesses. And here we are back on theme with the whole...
That was a theme.
Yeah. This is the theme, but also just like storytelling and create and realizing like exactly what you said, that it's really about your energy. And it's so interesting because you're a great example of, I think so many people start in the corporate world because it's easy and it's what we are taught. It's like you go to school, you get your degree, you get a job, you have your investments, like you, I mean, you have that stability, but you never go beyond that necessarily. And I think so many of us were raised either one with families that grew up with not a lot of money, or they were like middle class and they were just, they did that exact ratio and they put their money in their 401k and they never thought beyond that. And then when you go out and you become an entrepreneur, you're pursuing something that's so outside your comfort zone. It's not surprising that all of a sudden it's like, ooh, whoa, where did all these money blocks come from or these beliefs come from? So can you speak a little more to that about how you personally worked through some of those for yourself, like as they came up as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. It was really, really tough.
I'm asking selfishly for myself, too.
Yeah. So what happened was while I was doing my master's, I was moved from sales into recruiting, and I got hit with the big tech layoffs early 2023. And so I was kind of excited. I was like, this is awesome. Like now I get to pursue my business. It's an opportunity to really go in. And I had a big amount of savings saved up. And so I started really focusing on strategy and reaching out and trying to get clients and trying and just doing all the things that I thought I needed to do. And I found myself just kind of like going through my savings without like a whole lot to show for it initially. And that started to get me into this place of fear and like scarcity around money. And it was just kind of like, okay, well, I chose this to help women and I'm helping women, but it's not like this big business I expected it to be. And so I got hit with all these different, like you said, mindset blocks around money. And that just, it honestly made me think again, kind of like, is pursuing a business worth it? I thought this is going to be a straightforward path to doing something that I love and is helpful to basically a full-on personal development journey
where I felt like I was getting like punched in the face every other week. So
yeah, so it really exposed my underlying limiting money beliefs that I didn't even really know I had. So yeah,
not to put you on the spot, but I think it's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, so you know, it was self-worth. What I did was I found my value in these external achievements. And this is actually very on brand with being on the Fully Express podcast. So I found myself very tied up into these external achievements and looked at them to justify my value and felt like I needed to have everything perfect. Like if I can't get clients, if I can't do this, then how can I even be teaching finance? It was a trip, and I got stuck in perfectionism and thinking I needed to know more and more and more before I could really like put other things out there. So it was really fascinating. And this is actually going to be the answer to the question you're going to ask me at the end. Maybe I shouldn't drop that
okay.
But
trust your flow.
Yes, I realized that I needed to start looking internally at my value, because speaking of finance, like no matter what your net worth is, it has nothing to do with your self-worth. Like nothing external. We are internal beings living in this external environment, you know, have all of this pressure put on us to show up a certain way, to justify the things we want to do, to, you know, have certain things in place before we can just do. And that made me realize how that was so backwards and that I really need to look internally. And so through some new mentors I found that were in the spiritual space, I was able to really connect with my own internal value and how unique I was aside from any external thing that I've done, and use that to drive me and connect that with service too. And also something that is really, really helpful to me, and with understanding how the brain works and the subconscious, like our brain wants proof of things, right? It's wants proof to be able to show up, to feel safe. And so I started to look at proofs of already being successful, of already having wealth, seeing my wealth grow, and just little things day to day. It's like I saw a penny on the ground. Wow, my wealth just increased. Like
that's awesome.
Simple things
yeah.
like that. And
it's true.
Yeah. So because it shifts you from a fear-based mindset into one of like, wow, there's abundance all around me. I mean, I even looked at where I lived, and like I rent a condo, and I was like, it's a, you know, in California. So it's like around $1 million condo. And I was like, this is so cool. Like maybe I can't afford this right now, but I get to live in this space. Like there is this abundance everywhere I look. And I really had to change my mindset from one of scarcity and fear to one of abundant to be successful as a business owner and a coach. And I think I know I went through that because I know I'm meant to incorporate this and teach it. So it's just interesting how life throws all these different twists and turns at you for your benefit. So all the tough things are actually the best things. But
one thing I've heard before that I love is like, you should treat your money like your romantic partner.
Yes.
Are you checking in on it? Are you loving it? Are you taking care of it? Does it feel safe with you? And a lot of things that you're talking about, right? Like when you're in a romantic partnership, it also comes up down to your worth. Like, do you feel worthy of this partnership, the kind of partnership that you're really craving? And I think we forget about that with money, because this money, again, it's energetics. It's the beliefs. Does it feel safe to be with you? But if you're constantly like in a scarcity mindset, reaching for it, and you're like, I need to hold on to you because if I have you, then I feel better. And it's in the unattachment, but there's that same thing. Like we do that in dating. When you feel like your partner is pulling away and he's like an anxious attachment or avoidant, what do? Reach, hold on,
yes.
You know? And like, and you're all being like, well, if you're leaving me, then I'm questioning my worth. Like you don't love me, like come back here. And I really think it's the same thing with money. Like the more that you trust money, that you believe that money is working for you, that you're surrendering yourself, that it's available everywhere. And people get into this with dating. Oh, guys suck. They're not, Dating is so hard. I'm never going to find my partner. You think your
partner is
going to...
There's no good men in this city.
You think your partner is going to feel safe to be with you.
Yeah.
And you think your partner is going to want to be in relationship with you. And you think your person is going to find you. No, because you already think so negatively about it. And when you're in a scarcity mindset with money, it's the same thing. It's like, Do you really think money is going to want to be with you if you are constantly in this space of like, I got to hold on to it? Which is something that we've talked about too. Like, we have friends that are, you know, doing really well or whatever. And, you know, you can still have a lot of money. Like you said, your net worth is not your worth, and you can still feel unsafe.
Yes.
Which is a whole nother part to this conversation. And I think there's a lot of people out there that, like, you see that there's like millionaires and billionaires, and they're like, I still don't have enough.
Yeah.
Because to your point, they're looking to like fill the void.
Fill the void.
And the truth is, just with money, you also have to find this sense of safety and trust within yourself and be like, my value doesn't change no matter what my bank account looks like.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. I got goosebumps. Okay. Got the chills. Yes. I think that's such a powerful point. And yeah, I've come across quite a few people who are very well off, but they're so afraid of losing it. And I think that just shows that there are a lot of things backwards, and there's a lot of things to learn about money that we still need to uncover and grow. And I think learning about money, developing that relationship, especially of trust, I think it really comes down, like, it's tied to trusting yourself.
It's self-trust.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think that's one of the best things that you can do for yourself is find that self-trust, even if it feels like it temporarily, you know, breaks you down. But it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. So powerful. I think back to like the beginning of this conversation where we were talking about so much about investments. We even talked a little bit about crypto. Like our generation, like my partner put this together so beautifully. And I don't know if you agree with this, but he's like, older generations had a way to make money, right? If you owned a home, you were wealthy. You were already building generational wealth. And then the next generation was like, if you invest in stocks, like you're building generational wealth. We're also in a different generation. And so I think we're getting even more challenged because a lot of the systems that we currently have in place aren't necessarily set up. They're not educating us. And so we are getting faced with the mirror, like any relationship, to see within ourselves of like, oh, where is my lack of trust within myself with money? Where am I second questioning myself? Where am I coming from a scarcity mindset? Which just kind of, I think, really involves your whole vision for your business, because it's both, right? We do need like what's working. How are people investing? How are people managing their money? How have people done it for a while? But then also there is a spiritual element to this whole process that is also being almost like forced upon us to figure out. It's like
a millennial.
You got to look within yourself. If you want this, you really got to look within yourself. And yes, you can do all the research, but even if you do, if you don't feel valuable, it won't come.
Yeah.
As hard as it is to swallow, it's such a huge pill to swallow, you know?
I think it's hard to, like, I think the millennial generation like has it the hardest too, because all of our parents, majority of our parents own a home. They were able to buy a home, live a comfortable lifestyle on like $100,000, $200,000, maybe less. Some in some states, $50,000, $40,000, $20,000. And now we've seen that, we've witnessed that, and especially here in California, but I think all over now, you're seeing this generation of people who the old way isn't possible for us anymore. The younger generation has like come in and they're just like, we're doing our own thing. Half of them don't even care about owning a house. Or if they do, they're just like, you know, they're like making millions on TikTok. Like they've figured it out. And we're like, where do we fit in here? Like what? I feel like we are kind of the generation healing that gap and that wound
for the other generations to come.
And you know, that made me think of too. It's like for those that may feel like they can't get in the game, which anybody can, and or like have access to certain investment accounts or whatnot. Like investing obviously is great too, but the best investment really is in yourself. And like, think about, if you're able, if you have such a good relationship with yourself, your value and money, and you're able to call it in whenever you want, you have financial security that way, right? You have,
do this.
You have abundance at your fingertips. And to me, that's much more rewarding than, you know, a big investment account. Being able to just have that trust, and it makes life really fun too. Like, I feel like it, like this has been an energetic exchange, like meeting both of you and being on here and be able to have
a genuine conversation where we're connecting. Like, this is value.
Yeah. And I love that because I think people find safety in generational wealth because that's what they hear, you know? Yeah. But you're just saying, like, if you find safety with wealth, you've got it.
Yeah.
You are living
also
abundant.
When you can be also okay with nothing, like when you're good with nothing and you, and as someone who's like had a lot of money and no money, I've found to just be okay in all those spaces. And then it is like, it is kind of fun because it's like a trust in the universe. Like, where's my money going to come from today? I don't know. We're going to see, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. But it does always provide when you let go.
It does.
And I'd still, like, even though we're talking about this, I don't want to take away the importance of money management.
And understanding money.
It's, yeah, and understanding money, right? Like, we are saying, like, work on your self-worth and things like that. But you also have to create a structure or a container for money to feel safe to come into. You even use the word of, like, creating capacity to hold that much money. Like, I know that people have come into a lot of wealth before, then they've lost it all. Like, what happens to people when they win the lottery?
Yeah, I was going to say the lottery
winners.
You know,
the lottery winners are a perfect example of what's going on. They have no money management skills. They don't have the capacity in the nervous system to hold millions of dollars. They're like, oops, spending it. And then most of them are bankrupt by the end of it. And so the invitation here too is like, get really good about knowing where your stuff is.
Yes.
You know, how you're spending it, what the structure is, how does it feel good? It's like the map. So when you talk about like masculine and feminine dynamics and relationship, it's the same thing. You being masculine, holding the container, understanding your money, how you're using it, how you're spending it, keeping track of it, all the things, being intentional with it is the masculine. Mm. But then the ability for it to abundantly flow in is the feminine.
Receive.
So yeah, so beautiful.
Yeah.
At this point, I want to ask you a very special question.
Okay.
Which is, you were kind of talked about it. But with this entire conversation, which has been all about money, you can totally answer this from a place of money, or you can just talk about this as you, because we also just want to get to know you as a human.
Yeah.
Where in your life do you feel called to be fully expressed?
Yes, definitely in my business and just showing up online at fully as like who I am. One thing I noticed throughout working in corporate was, you know, when you go into this new workplace, there's a culture, you know, there's kind of like a level of professionalism, which is great, right?
I talk about this
all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
You do want some of that.
Yeah.
But I almost felt like over time, my personality almost kind of like suppressed or like
dulled down a little.
Yeah. Dulled down. And there was kind of like this fear of being seen or showing up authentically as myself. And then I think that kind of trickled over when I started my business. Like, I am a business owner now. I am a coach. Like, I need to have my financial shit together. Like, I need to make sure that everything is perfect and I have this perfect facade. And it is taxing. Like, that is not serving anybody, right? And so I think it's really realizing that, like I mentioned earlier, is connecting to my internal traits and who I am and really being okay with any imperfection, because if there was perfection, then there's no growth in that. And, you know, what fun is that?
True.
How has that journey been for you?
It's been good. It's been
learning to take off the perfectionism and just be you.
Yeah, it's been very freeing. Number one, very freeing. I just stopped caring so much. And, you know, I think that's allowed me to connect with people better too. It's also been extremely scary. So it's kind of like showing up more, you know, doing more speaking, doing lives, and thinking like I need to have the perfect script. I need to know exactly what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it. I can't, you know, I don't know, use certain words. But really, people just want connection. You know, people just want to get to know you. And I've never not been interested in getting to know somebody because of something, someone being perfect, you know? So I think, yeah, it's been a really beautiful journey of like peeling back the onion and really connecting back to who I am. And yeah, it's been worth it.
I love that.
Worth it. So beautiful.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one. We'll be done here soon. But my last question is like, have you found people or spaces where you feel that way, where you can be just you?
I think it comes down to you being that first. Like when I came to your podcast relaunch, one thing, the reason I came, I was invited by another girl that you had on earlier, but I saw you guys and you just had this energy to you that seemed so welcoming and accepting. And I was kind of at this place where I was stepping into, like, let's just get rid of, you know, anything that's not me and just be myself again and stop caring how people, like, what they think or anything like that. And that is what drew me to you guys. So I do think it's also, yeah, so thank you.
So sweet. Thank you
for doing what you guys are doing. Like, that was an awesome experience and event and met so many wonderful other women. I think it's about you have to first branch out, right? You can't, like you said, with the relationships, you can't go in a room expecting to meet people and not say hello to anyone, you know? So I think it's just
like, I want you to come say it's so funny. Like, it's when this happens to so many, like, people pleasers, perfectionists in general, they're like, I just want to be seen. And it's like, well, are you even putting yourself out there? Like, can they even see you? So it really starts with you.
Yeah. It also made me think, like, I'm always like, I wish, like, my friends and I would do more things. And then as soon as I get asked to hang out, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, let's just stay in and watch the movie. Sorry. Busy. But yeah. So
see, it starts with us.
Starts with us.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, truly. Thank you for having me. This is nice.
I feel like it definitely that the interview got really warm. Like, when you started to, like, show yourself, it was really beautiful. I really liked it.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I learned a lot already.
Good.
And then tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes. So I am primarily on Instagram as @SheInvestor. And then I also, you can find me on my website, sheinvestor.com. So there's information there about my programs, working with me. And then I also do a weekly live webinar series to kind of cover different finance topics and do a Q&A. So all the resources are on there.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, go reach out to her if you have any information, but this will all be in the show notes. And truly, thank you so much for coming and just sharing a little bit of wisdom. I think we definitely talked about so many good nuggets, like, that people in corporate can act on right now to, like, if you're really being channeled or challenged with money, there's some shit you gotta look within yourself.
Yeah, and also it's okay if you don't have a lot of money right now. Like, it doesn't mean you have to stay that way.
No, it doesn't. And I'll just add real quickly if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
The power of starting small and building a habit of just, like, saying yes to your money today, saving a little bit when the paycheck comes in, or taking some time to address your expenses, like, that those habits build over time. Everyone wants to try to have it all right the second, but it's such a journey. And it's one that's very much worth it. It's one that I'm still on in different ways. So I think starting, there's so much power in starting small.
Agreed.
Yeah. And on that note, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. So good.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you. See you on the next one.